wasn't expecting to come up before the offering was taken. Well, bless you guys. I need everybody's smile before I get started. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you are concerned about each and every life here. We thank you, Lord, that the things that are on our hearts, God, concern you. They don't worry you, but they concern you because you desire us to have pure hands and a clean heart. And so I ask this morning that you would continue to speak just as you did through worship, that you'd continue to reveal yourself, and that we would hear you, that we'd be sensitive to your voice, that we'd listen, that we would pay attention, that the things that you desire to impart in us today, Lord, would not just fall on fallow ground, God, but they would go deep into our understanding, and then we would be doers of that word, oh God. So transform us, I pray, not just in this hour, God, but hour after hour after hour, that we might look more like your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might speak like him and walk like him and look like him from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. Going to talk to you this morning a little bit. I don't really know where this thing's going to go, to be honest with you. I just feel like the Lord told me to speak out of this passage, and I don't know all that he wants to tell you. All I know to do is to be obedient, and I might not say anything, but the word of God will speak for itself, and however he desires to apply it to your life, I just ask that you would be obedient, that you just take it and make it personal. Jeremiah 42. I'm going to read the whole passage. It's a little long, but it needs to be read, and so it says, now all the captains of the forces, Johanan, Jezaniah, and all the people from the least to the greatest, they came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, please let our petition be acceptable to you, and pray for us to the Lord your God for all this remnant, since we are left but a few of many, as you can see, that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and in the thing that we should do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard. Indeed, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall be that whatever the Lord answers you, I will declare it to you. I will keep nothing back from you. So they said to Jeremiah, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sends us by you, whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Then he called Johanan all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him, if you will still remain in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I relent concerning the disaster that I brought upon you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand, and I will show you mercy, that he may have mercy on you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, 'We will not dwell in this land,' disobeying the voice of the Lord your God, saying, 'No, but we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor be hungry for bread, and there we will dwell,' then hear now the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter Egypt and go to dwell there, then it shall be that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. The famine of which you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. So shall it be with all the men who set their faces to go to Egypt and dwell there. They shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the disaster that I will bring upon them. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so will my fury be poured out on you when you enter Egypt, and you shall be an oath, an astonishment, a curse, and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. The Lord has said concerning you, O remnant of Judah, do not go to Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For you were hypocrites in your hearts when you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, 'Pray for us to the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord your God says, so declare to us, and we will do it.' And I have said this day and declared to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God or anything which he has sent you by me. Now, therefore, know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence in the place where you desire to go to dwell." Where do you desire to go? There's a lot that can be said about this chapter, but the things that I'm going to share with you are just things that God spoke to me. Whether they ring true for you now or later, or maybe someone you know that is wanting to go to Egypt, you need to hear from the Lord. Egypt is often referred to as our past life, the place that God pulled us out from, that thing that is familiar to us. God has brought you here. You are a remnant. You are a select, hand-chosen, blood-bought child, daughter, son. And there are few of you. There are few of you. But one of the first things that we need to see is that these few went to Jeremiah and they asked him to pray for direction. Direction from the Lord. What is the will of God for us? Now, I find it interesting, Jeremiah's response, because at the end of the chapter, we see that he knew their hearts. He knew where they were at. So he said in verse 4, in the beginning of the chapter, "Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, 'I have heard, and indeed I will pray to the Lord your God according to your words.'" You see, sometimes you want us to pray, or you want someone to pray on your behalf when you've already decided what it is you're going to do. Jeremiah said, "I'm going to pray according to your words." "Oh, Tana, I just need you to pray for me that I'll have wisdom and discernment." And you already know exactly what your plan is. You already have it settled in your heart exactly what it is you're going to do. And you're just hoping beyond hope that somebody's going to bless the decision that you've made, when you know it's directly violating the will of God for you. Jeremiah said, "I'll pray to God. I heard what you've asked, and I'm going to pray according to your words. And when he answers me, I'm going to tell you exactly what he says." "Oh, that's good. Yeah, give me a word from the Lord. I want to hear, I want to know everything he has to say." So they said to Jeremiah, "Let the Lord be true and faithful witness between us if we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sends us." "Oh, we'll obey. We'll do whatever. In fact, whether it's pleasing or displeasing, we'll obey the voice of the Lord." Really? Really? That verse reminds me of past conversations I've had. And you know, whatever God says, that's what I'll do. I'm just here for his sake, to be obedient. So God did. He spoke. You're coming in, you are in, we are in a season when we have got to be obedient to the voice of God, whether it pleases you or not. You've got to be obedient. We've got to get real. And we've got to choose, no matter what, that we will do what the Lord has called us to do to completion. To completion. So the Lord spoke. And this was his promise. This was his word. Are we so hardened to his word that when he speaks, it means nothing anymore? "Oh, I've heard that before. Oh, I know that. Yeah, I know that story. Yeah, I know I memorized that scripture. Is the voice of the living God. And he said to the people, if you will still remain in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down. And I will plant you and not pluck you up. I will plant you if you will remain. This is my promise if you will do this. If you will remain, I will plant you. God will plant you. God desires to do that. A number of years ago, my daughter graduated from high school, and her high school teacher was very dear to her, and her students were very dear. In this one particular class, they had a graduation gift, kind of a party, and this teacher gave gifts to all her students, and every student got a tree. We went to this function, and there were trees lined up all along the walls of the room, and they were green and they had leaves on them and they had some roots, and she talked about some scripture. She was a Christian woman, and she said, I want you to plant these trees in your yard and nourish it and watch it grow and know that this is a picture of your life if you're planted in the Lord. And it was a very, you know, memorable time for those students, and so we put this tree in our car and brought it home, and it sat outside because I am not a gardener, and it was a tree, but it didn't get planted. And it soon died because it wasn't in the ground. It was just laying on top of the ground, and the roots died, and it didn't have what it needed to flourish and to grow. And how many times do we get, you know, do we just put our feet somewhere and then we pluck ourselves up because we don't like the dirt? We don't like the soil. We don't like the environment. The elements are too harsh. And so we pluck ourselves up and move us on. And God said, I want to plant you. I will plant you if you'll remain. And your roots will go deep. And you will live. Or maybe you've been planted and you're just hoping beyond hope that a strong wind's going to come along and pull you right up out of the ground and transfer you somewhere else. That is not the way God does it. He wants your roots to grow. And when he plucks you up, it is to gently set you in a new land. So he'll plant you again. But don't pluck yourself up. Let him be the one to plant and to uproot. Let him be the one to decide what kind of soil you need, what kind of weather needs to be around you. And then you embrace that and you do what he's asked you to do. Because I'm going to tell you, this is what happens. In verse 11, He says, do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him. Babylon, in Hebrew, Babel, where we get the word Babylon, Babel means confusion. So in essence, he's saying, do not be afraid of the king of confusion. You see, what happens when we get into those situations, and it usually is, it comes as fear. We don't recognize it as fear, and it disguises itself, but confusion will come. And in that confusion, we become very fearful of the voices, the things that we begin to hear about what we should do. Well, this isn't working, and I don't know what to do, and what's going to happen if I leave, and what if I don't leave, what's going to happen, and I can't get along here, and I don't know what I'm supposed to, and but if I leave, what do I go anywhere? There's confusion. And you're trying to make a decision and hear from God in the confusion? You can't do it, because he's not the author of confusion. And so when you get to that place where the king of confusion is causing fear in your life, you need to go and confess it and get prayer and not be saying, well, I just need you to pray for me, but you've already got a decision in what you're going to do. And you've already been to parole 2 weeks ago, and you put in your transfer, and then you come and say, pray for me. I just need direction. Really? I just talked to your parole officer. He said you put a transfer in 2 weeks ago. What do you want prayer for? Confusion. There's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. God desires to lead you in truth. He will not speak to you clearly in deception. He wants to lead you into all truth. God says, don't be afraid of the king of Babylon. He's going to speak things to you. If you stay planted, I will speak to you. I will direct you. I am not the author of fear or confusion. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Those are the things that confusion takes from you, that fear takes for you. It takes your power. It takes your love. And it takes your sound mind. That's what fear does. I can't think clearly. I don't understand what I'm supposed to do. If I stay, I feel trapped. If I leave, I feel trapped. You need prayer. You need prayer from people who are going to tell you the truth. And can I say this? I'm not talking about just first-year students. I'm talking about people that are needing to make decisions for next September. Between March and May, all of our students start deciding, what am I going to do next year? I don't know what I'm going to do. And you know what? And I'll be the very first person on this ranch to bless you and to pray for you and to send you on if you can honestly tell me in truth that God has told me to move on. I'll say yes and amen, and I thank God for the year or whatever, however amount of time that you've been here. This isn't about having everybody here and keeping everybody close and don't ever, ever leave. You say, well, you've been here forever. Yeah, I have. But that's because God told me to. But I will bless you and send you on, and I'll support your decisions if that's what God's told you to do. But don't be moved by the author of confusion. and then expect everybody to clap and shout and say, woohoo, he's moving on. Well, some of you, we might do that too. I'm just teasing. Okay. Don't be afraid. The Lord says, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. Don't be afraid. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. When confusion is operating in someone's life, they think that they're the only one who's right. I'm the only one here that's right. Y'all don't understand. Nobody understands. They think that they're the only one who understands the big picture. It's a pretty bold statement, pretty bold belief, that men and women of God that have been here, who've laid their lives down for you, don't get the big picture. Everyone else is wrong, when in reality they don't even know what the big picture is. And all these misconceptions are indications that pride has entered into a person's heart and blocked their ability to hear godly wisdom or counsel. At this level, sometimes they'll see themselves as unappreciated because the enemy comes in and he begins to speak a bunch of stuff that's not truth. Nobody appreciates me. Nobody understands me. Well, I pray more than they do. They begin to see themselves as more spiritual. They got the inside scoop. They know something nobody else knows. God speaks to them, not to anybody else. And if we aren't careful, then a deep sense of rejection will entrap you in that place and confusion will lead to isolation and rejection. Just get you pulled back so that you don't want to be with anybody and you don't want to talk about it with anybody. Whatever you do, do not try to reason with the king of Babylon. You can't reason with the king of Babylon. You need to take authority. You need to command it to be silent. You need to bring it out into the light. You need to get with those people around you, those leaders that will pray for you and intercede for you. You need to be willing to hear the truth of God and not go in with an agenda where you've already decided what it is the course of your life is going to take. So here's the deal. This is what Egypt has to say. No, it's in verse, let's see, 14. No, we will go to the land of Egypt where we'll see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor be hungry for bread, and there we will dwell. No, I just think if I leave, then everything will be okay. My problems, my issues will be solved. Everything is going to be clear sailing. I'll be happy then. I won't have to have Keith come up early in the morning. I don't have to eat beans and rice and tortillas. I can do what I want, go where I want, say what I want. I won't feel like I live in a fishbowl. I don't have to hear the drums the first thing in the morning. I don't need to clean up after somebody else. I can just take care of me. I think it'll just be better in Egypt, where I don't have to see the war. Brother, you're in the war. Whether you leave or not, you're in a war. And you're either going to be in a war with a bunch of other soldiers on your side, or you're going to go out there and be stand alone. You're in a war. Thank God you're in a war and you've got people standing beside you that will pray for you and love you and support you. You leave here outside of the will of God, you're going to be in a war. You're going to be on the other side. And you're going to be hard-pressed to find those people that will stand around you and fight with you. Don't believe there's not a war when you go back to Egypt. Jeremiah called him out. He called him out and he said, "Know certainly," in verse 19, "I have admonished you this day, for you were hypocrites in your hearts when you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, 'Pray for us to the Lord, and according to all that the Lord your God says, so declare to us, and we will do it.'" He called him out. And I'm calling you out. God has spoken to you. And I'm calling you out to be real about where you're at. I know it's hard. You see, you've been here a couple years, maybe some of you at the most. I've seen the multitudes come through here. I know it's hard. I know the battle that you face. I understand it. But many of you will come and go, and you will never, ever, ever, ever ask for prayer in the battle. And you'll just believe the king of Babylon, and you'll just go back, and you'll end up in confusion. Instead of coming to those and saying, "This is where I'm at. I am fighting the king of confusion, the king of Babylon, and I need prayer because I want to run. And I'm not going to condemn you. I'm going to pray for you that that thing would be silent in your life, that you would see the truth." But don't come and ask for direction and discernment when you've already got it settled in your heart what you're going to do. You're a hypocrite. And you know, it doesn't matter really what you say to me, but God sees it. And are you really willing to do, whether it's pleasing or not to your flesh, are you willing to do it? That's what He's called you here for. That you would learn to die to those things. That you would learn to be an obedient son, an obedient daughter. He wants to plant you deep, deep. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, to follow their advice, their plans, their purpose. You understand that you can be in this place and still walk in the counsel of the ungodly? You'll find somebody to agree with you. And sometimes you'll find two more, me, myself, and I. It's truth. Well, where there's two or three witnesses, me, myself, and I, we're in agreement. Really? Nor stands in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down where the scornful gather. You're going to find scornful people here. Hey, I need to talk to you. You want to go for a walk? But his delight and desire in the law of the Lord, and on his law he habitually meditates day and night. He habitually meditates day and night on the laws and the precepts of the Lord. This is the man that will be like a tree planted, firmly planted by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in season. Its leaf also does not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper. Planted deep, and everything he does shall prosper. God says in Jeremiah, I will plant you if you will stay in the land. You will bring forth in season, but it has to be the right season. Some of you could hear, and you're here for a couple weeks, and you want to see fruit growing all over you. It's not the right season. It'll happen, but not if you pluck yourself up. Do you know when I plant something, and it's not very often, but when I do it, I've been told that part of the reason that my stuff doesn't grow is because I don't prune it first. I just want all the pretties. Isn't that right, Mr. Willard? Sometimes you just got to prune those things first, those rose bushes. And I just want all the roses. I just want all the pretty flowers. But you got to sometimes prune it back first. And that's what happens when you get here. You're getting pruned. God's pulling back. He's cutting off that stuff that's going to hinder you. And when you get through that season, you're going to produce beautiful fruit. But it'll be in season. It'll be in the season God intended it to be in. But don't say, well, this place isn't producing anything in me. I'm just going to pluck myself up and go somewhere else. You're not going to go deep. Those roots are not going to go deep. Be patient. Let God have his perfect will. Be obedient to what he's told you to do. Follow it to completion. And you're going to have more fruit than you'll know what to do with. Basketfuls, the word of God says, is what you'll give him. It's simply a season. And I know that you're here. I know you chose to come here to produce fruit for the King. I know that. But every activity has an appointed time. And we can accept God's timetable, or we can be crushed by it. And so my prayer for you, my desire for you, is that you'll take this Jeremiah and you'll let the word of the Lord purge you from those things that you are not walking in truth, and that you will be planted and not be moved before its season, before God does what he desires to do. So, Father, I ask you that, Lord, your word, this word that you've given, would go forth and it would produce fruit, purpose, a deepening in our hearts to be obedient to you. That, God, we would trust you with our lives. And that what you have begun to do in us, you'll be faithful to complete it. You'll be faithful to complete it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Bless you guys.